You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
On Deck Business Loans for up to $250,000. Apply in just minutes. Go to ondeck.com.au today.
Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
Been fun the last couple of hours. Well, it's always fun. Great to have your company wherever you're listening. And if you want to drop by, we're live at the Crown Audio Hub. You can kick off the season at Crown. Game on, Andy Maher. Andy Gay is looking forward to your company here at the Audio Hub after three. Andy Maher has just walked in with the carrot and ginger. Always sets us up for a big last hour, as does this man, Sammy Edmund, our chief football reporter for rjsanderson.com.au, personal and business tax experts. Welcome to you, Sammy. Great to have you back on.
Great to be with you, Pipe. You've had a magnificent show today, so great to be a part of it. And carrot and ginger, you say, for the great Andy Maher.
Yeah, a little bit of orange, carrot and ginger. And I think I'm getting a bit of a tan because of it. It's doing me some... Is that true or is that a myth? It's a myth that there's a divide in Tassie that us mainlanders... Have I made that up? If you drink carrot juice, do you get tan skin?
Maybe it's... that's all part of it, I suppose, Dwayne. You'd be radiating should you have a few of those juices from down there.
Send me through a text. Is it myth if you drink a lot of carrot juice? 0433 98 11 16. Was it a myth that they were a chance not to be able to use the Tassie Devil as their logo?
Well, maybe not. No, maybe this was genuine. But I tell you what I was staggered by was the admission from the inaugural Devils chairman, that's Grant O'Brien, of course, last night in the coverage on the AFL website. Surely this can't be right, Dwayne. In talking through the negotiations with Warner Brothers, Grant O'Brien claimed that Warner Brothers, the Hollywood execs over there, didn't realise there was such a thing as an actual Tasmanian Devil. And Grant O'Brien said once they did, then the negotiations became a bit smoother. That cannot be right, can it?
I wouldn't think so. But in the cartoon world, Sammy, what's the basis of reality in
I find that absolutely staggering. In the end, common sense has prevailed, of course. That is absolutely extraordinary, if true. What is also extraordinary, they've just tipped over 82,000 members.
Is Marvin the Martian really true as well?
That's right. Elmer Fudd, is he getting around? I mean, I'm not too sure, but just amazing as it was. Right. Anyway, common sense prevailed. So they are the Devil. They were always going to be the Devil. The Devil logo looks amazing too, by the way. The jumper, which has been the source of a lot of debate, I'm in the minority here. I think it needs a rejuvenation, a facelift. As it turns out, this was also in the fine print last night, whether this forms part of their heritage jumper or the like, it will only be worn sparingly when they actually play games in anger from 2028 onwards. And a more of a mainstay home and away Guernsey will be designed and will be implemented in that. So they might end up wearing a handful of Guernseys throughout their home and away matches. And obviously the map of Tasmania will be one of those, as it should be in some way, shape or form. I just thought maybe it could have been modernised a tad.
And do you think it'll be the reverse? It'll be yellow with the green Tassie for their away jumper at all? Or are they going to be able to wear different shades of green?
It's yellow and myrtle green and rose red. They don't need a clash jumper. Who else wears green? Like, I had to laugh, people talking about clash jumpers and the like. No one else will be dressed like them. So,
no one else wears primrose and no one else wears myrtle.
Exactly. So their uniqueness is their strength. So I don't see the need to come up with a clash jumper. But as I said, the foundation membership, 10 or 15 bucks a pop, now crashed through the 82,000 mark earlier today as well, and rising.
And my two aunties get a mention as well, Primrose and Myrtle. Cheerio to both of you. The texts are coming through. Dwayne, the beta carotene can pigment the skin. However, you have to ingest a ridiculous amount. But another one here. I drink lots of carrot, beetroot, and celery, Dwayne, and I have noticed a tan. So there is a bit of, I've turned orange, drinking 1.2 litres of carrot juice per day. So there you go. We're all going to turn orange down here at Crown. Steer me straight. I've been talking about chipping the ball technology for a while. We're going to get it, are we?
Well, we're going to get it in the VFL this Friday. They're going to trial it in two games. A VFL game between Sandringham and Collingwood. That's at Moorabbin's RSCA Park. That's Friday afternoon. And then under lights for the VFLW game between the Saints and Collingwood. So these specially designed Sherrins have been used by clubs over summer, maybe even going back before that, Dwayne. It's been in the works for years and years, this. But the AFL want to see how the balls behave in game conditions. So this is the next phase of the testing. They're going to study kick and handball lengths, ball speed, spin rate, height, all sorts of things. It is hoped that the chip balls will obviously eventually be used by the league and you and the broadcast booths around the country, Dwayne, to measure any array of stats and data in real time. But significantly, it has that officiating component potentially as well when it comes to score reviews, balls hitting the post, balls crossing the line and such. Hopefully in time we can get to that stage. But this is just another chapter in seeing how the ball behaves with a chip inserted in it in game conditions. So hopefully we don't get kicks falling short 10 metres and the like and it behaves normally, Dwayne, out there at Moorabbin.
So we're going to argue if the... So we're going to have the 15-metre kick adjudicated by chip-in ball technology at all, or we're going to have the mark that's taken by the full forward that touches the grass being adjudicated by the chip-in ball technology?
Well, I'm no tech expert. I guess it would have that capability to judge distance, absolutely. Whether that's going to be implemented in real time with the umpires remains to be seen. I think first and foremost, there's the two main pillars of it, and that is, as Laura Kane has articulated, the statistical and data overlay that will come with it, perhaps for broadcast and media and the viewer at home. And then secondly, and more importantly for mine, is the score review and whether it can actually say when the ball has crossed the line, when the ball maybe has even crossed the boundary line and has the ball hit the post or flicked off a boot, those sort of contentious decisions that we seemingly get just about week in, week out at the moment at the top level.
Because it does open up the hindsight inaccuracy. So if we have the chip in the ball technology and someone takes a mark and kicks a game-winning goal, and then the day later we find out, well, the ball only travelled 13.6 metres. And shouldn't have been paid. So it does open up controversy. The more you actually go into this, the deeper you go into technology, the more cans of worms it opens.
Yeah, well, I mean, maybe they could, to answer your question specifically, they are wired up communication-wise, the umpires. Maybe they can get a message in the ear in straight away saying, play on, it hasn't gone the 15. But, gee, the game's pretty hard to officiate, Dwayne.
Oh, yeah.
Might make it harder rather than easier.
No, absolutely. Tribunal tonight.
Yeah, this is going to sit at 5 o'clock. This is Hawthorn's defence of their skipper, James Sicily, of course, charged with kicking. He's challenging a one-match ban. It was kicking Andrew McGrath. Assessed as intentional, that it definitely was. Assessed as to the body, that it definitely was. But it's the medium impact that the Hawks are going to argue here, Dwayne. If it's low impact, it's a fine. Mediums are triggered to get it to one match. And they certainly went after him, the Bombers, tactically with Guelphy and then collectively to get under his skin, which saw the Hawthorn captain lash out. And a bit of a regression in this. He'd been good of late on this front, had James Sicily, but got himself into a bit of hot water here, Dwayne. I'm not sure what you think. I think it's going to be pretty hard to get out of, given kicking is certainly something we don't want to see in the game, regardless of the force.
I think I'll have to leave a half hour of the show free if he gets off for tomorrow. Yeah. I think if he gets...
An hour, I reckon.
As I mentioned earlier on, what is James Sicily supposed to do? The AFL does have to stop the targeting of players, I think, because the poor guy... Well, do we like it? Do you think the AFL secretly likes a bit of
a
blue?
It's not the first time a player's been targeted, Dwayne, and they don't all lash out with a kick, do they?
No, they don't, but I'm not sure this was technically a kick anyway. And two, did he get him? And three, what does James Sicily have as his options? Yeah, he can't kick. But if four guys come at you, what do you do? Do you back down meekly or do you barrel one and get on the aggressive?
You'd like to think you get your teammates coming in to fly the flag with you, of course, as a start. But the points that you raise there are the points that Hawthorn are going to argue. Was it a kick? Was it not? Was it forceful enough? Was it not? Yeah. And a real question here off the text as well. Do Warner Brothers realise the Roadrunner is a real bird? Is another thing that's coming through.
Or Speedy Gonzales is a real... I don't know. Is that... I know what it's like when you and four or five of your newsroom mates come in and hassle me in my little studio. They've got five of you coming at me.
Do you kick out?
No, I don't kick out. Speaking of Laura Kane and the adjudications, she has annoyed a few people with her thoughts that Liam Stock should have kept his feet, which I agree with.
Yeah, this was your take yesterday, wasn't it? She's given a thumbs up to that. She's given a thumbs up to a lot of things over the weekend, the GM of football, Laura Kane. But no case to answer, she's in terms of further questioning the officials. Said they've read that perfectly with the Patrick Dangerfield situation. Gave a thumbs up to Grind Myers showing Rowan Marshall's boot. So clearly giving the Geelong forward the benefit of the doubt that in that he was throwing it to get it out of the way and potentially out of danger and not doing it to make life tough for Rowan Marshall. I mean, we've seen fines, free kicks and 50s in this space before, Dwayne. The league deemed it not to be unsportsmanlike. I mean, really, only Grind Myers knows what he was doing with that boot, but the AFL has given him the benefit of the doubt. I didn't mind that, to be honest. Rewatching it again, perhaps this was the right call, albeit he did throw it a fair way. He did throw it a fair way away, didn't he?
Well, he was making sure that it wasn't a danger to anybody.
Anyone.
Yes, that's right.
And Laura Kane said the umpires just simply missed Errol Gordon, that kick hitting the sky cam all the way back on Thursday night. She said they did it, had actually on Friday night, wrote rules in over the summer to cater this for this specific instance. So in many ways, they might have jinxed themselves here. It should have been a stoppage. It should have been a ball up. The umps obviously trained to keep their eyes on the contest and the players grappling ahead of the ball, not look up at the ball travelling in flight.
Gee whiz.
Just when you thought you've seen everything.
Yeah, but there's always something the AFL doesn't actually factor in. So what happens if it hits the roof? That's a ball up, isn't it?
Yeah, that'll be a stoppage and a ball up,
okay,
for sure.
All right. Just wanted to double-check that for next time that happens, because it'll never happen until it happens. Tim Zhu, you got some other news?
Yeah, second chance at a Vegas debut, obviously thrown into turmoil. Another one's, he's been left at the altar for another one. This one was Keith Thurman, of course, a biceps injury while training. So they're all set for March 31. He was putting his WBO junior middleweight belt on the line. Now, there were reports this morning and since confirmed that Tim Zhu will fight Sebastian Fundora on the same date, March 31. So subject to approval, that one. But at least he moved over there, I think, just on the other side of Christmas, been training for months and months. At least he gets to finally fight in Sin City, Tim Zhu. So that's something.
Good stuff, Sammy. Great to have you on, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
See you, Pipe.
Sam Edmund joining us for RJ Sanderson and Associates. They're accountants and taxation specialists. Take the stress out of tax. Keep your text coming through 0433 98 11 16. Still to come, Lost in the Wash. And we'll have a chat to Ollie Dempsey, the Cats Rising Star nominee for the round. And Simon Hill to talk the world game a little later.